What number? 112?
Number 112. Y'all stand if you don't mind.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, child, you are never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. We talk of faith up on the mountain, but the talk comes easy when life's at its best. It's down in the valley of trials and temptations, and that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is to God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night.
Again, today I appreciate all the good songs and good testimonies today, and like to ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you this morning to try to bring before you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I'd like to call your attention to some scripture found in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 32. If you would like to read with me, please turn there. I'll be starting with the first verse. Exodus 32, beginning with verse 1, and actually have a fairly lengthy scripture reading today. Exodus 32 and 1, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.
And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other side, and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and they were written, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. That's reading the first 26 verses of Exodus 32 for a scripture reading. And the title of my message today will be the question that was asked, that we find recorded, that was asked by Moses, that we find recorded in the 26th verse. I want to ask this question today before this assembly, as Moses did many, many years ago, in the day that we have read about here before the assembly of the children of Israel, who is on the Lord's side? And when we think about the things that happened here, and there are some things that I would like to point out among the things that I have read in this 32nd chapter of Exodus. But I want to say that first of all, and I believe that we need to establish this in the beginning. First of all, every child of God should be on the Lord's side. I mean, He is the one that we should side with. And I also want you to consider that it can be very costly to be on the Lord's side. And it is certainly costly not to be on His side. And I want you to remember those things. If you go on and read in this 32nd chapter of Exodus, you will find that because these people forsook Him and they were not really on His side, destruction came upon them. They were destroyed. Now, and I want you to keep that in mind as well. Now, one of the big, and I don't know what you think about when you study this. I know that no doubt that there are many points to be made here. But I believe one of the big mistakes that Israel made was when Moses had gone up into the mountain there to meet with God, and to receive the commandments on the tables of stone, what we know as God's moral law. And he was gone longer, I guess, than what they expected that he would be gone. And when they saw that and that he had not returned, that's when trouble started to happen. And I believe that one of the big mistakes that Israel made in that situation was believing that they could not go on without Moses. And that's what seemed to be really plaguing them. You know, Moses, our leader, he has gone off into the mountain and we don't know what's happened to him and we don't know when he's going to return. And I really believe that a lot of their motivation behind, and you may see it this way or you may not, but I believe a lot of their motivation behind the making of the calf, the making of the false god, was not necessarily all about pushing God out of the picture, but I believe they were also looking for somebody in that to replace Moses. They were looking to make something there to replace as their leader. Moses, they thought that Moses had left them. They thought that he had gone off into this mountain. He had been the one that had led them out of Egypt on the Exodus, and he was the one that they were accustomed to seeing before them. You know, the things that he did through the power of God with the lifting up of the rod at the Red Sea and these things, and they were used to him, seeing him as their leader. And they obviously felt like that when he was gone up in the mountain and hadn't come back, and they didn't know when he was coming back or if he was coming back, they began to despair and they began to press up on Aaron to make them a god that they could say, this was the one that brought us out of the land of Egypt, because as far as we know, Moses, he's gone. And so I believe they made a big, big mistake there, first of all, of placing too much confidence in the man Moses. And certainly we know Moses was a great man. I mean, the Bible speaks about that. But it's better to trust in the Lord than to place confidence in man. And so, they pressed upon Aaron. Now, Aaron made a big mistake here. Aaron was to be blamed for a lot of the things that happened here, because it seems to me like that when the people pressed upon him you know, when they came to him and they just said, Moses is gone. He's went off into the mountains. We don't know if he's even coming back. And we want you to make us gods. It doesn't seem, I mean, the Bible doesn't give us any indication at all that Aaron ever even discouraged the idea before him. He just gave right in to what the people wanted. And certainly in this situation, Aaron, a man that should have been in this situation, certainly was not on the Lord's side. When they came to him and they said, Moses is gone, you know, make us this God. He just said, well, you know, okay, fine. Bring me the gold and, you know, give me your gold that you have and your earrings and your jewelry and I'll melt it down and I'll make you a God. I mean, there was no resistance on his part, no opposition whatsoever. And I'll tell you what, we don't need leaders like that in any aspect of our life. We need leaders in our country that'll stand for what's right. We need leaders in our churches that'll stand for what's right. You know, every family needs people that will stand up among them and try to point them in the right direction. And so, you know, Aaron, you know, he failed. He failed in what he should have done in this situation. You know, none of the people, but let me go on and expound upon that and say this also, that none of these people, when you read about what took place here in this 32nd chapter of Exodus, none of these people who were involved with the making of the golden calf were justified in what they did. None of them. They were all wrong. Aaron was wrong. The people were wrong. They were all wrong in what they did, and they did not stick with the Lord. They were not on God's side. You know, Moses being absent from among them was no excuse. That was no excuse. You believe that? The man Moses, even though he was their leader, and even though that they were accustomed to seeing him there in front of them and doing the things by the help of God that he had done, when he was gone from them, there was no excuse for them to turn to idolatry the way that they did. I'm telling you, the children of Israel had a responsibility in this, the same as Aaron did. They did wrong. Another point that I wanted to make was Aaron, after that he had done what he had done, and we see this so many times in it seems like in every aspect of life, but after Aaron had done what he was done, he didn't want Moses. You know, you read in this that when Moses did come down from the mountain, Aaron did not want Moses to be angry with him. You know, I believe he realized what he had done. I believe him giving in to the demands of the people. I believe Aaron realized that what he had done was wrong. And he did not, he felt like not only that he had failed God, but he had failed, you know, their leader, Moses. And he didn't want Moses to be angry with him over that. And so what did he do? He blamed it on the people. Aaron blamed it on the people. He said, well, you know, they wanted a God, and so, you know, I made them a God. And he blamed it on Israel themselves. I think there's something that we need to see in this. As God's people today, and I want you to, you know, ask yourself that question. Hey, listen, is it okay today if your pastor stands before you and from the Word of God questions your loyalty to the Lord? Is that all right? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe every one of us ought to question ourselves as to, are we really loyal to the Lord the way that we should be? And we see in this, obviously, we see in this situation men that should have been, people that should have been loyal to the Lord, and they were not. And so I think that we need to consider today that no matter what circumstances that we find ourselves in, and I'm talking about us as the children of God, that no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, no matter what the situation is that we are in, no matter what it is that somebody is trying to press up on us, we are never justified in turning our backs on God. We are never justified in doing things that we know that the Lord would not be pleased with. It doesn't make any difference who's wanting us to do those things. It doesn't make any difference how many people, if you're standing by yourself and how many people might be wanting you to do something. If it's not right in the eyes of God, then we never have the right to do it. Now, we may do wrong, because of our Adamic nature, from time to time we may do wrong. We sure might do wrong. But listen, don't ever do wrong and try to make it right. Amen. Don't ever do something wrong and say that it's right. Don't ever call evil good and good evil, because they're not the same thing. They are not the same thing. The Bible warns us about that. The Bible warns us about not calling good evil and evil good, because they are opposite from each other. There's a great contrast between the two of them. And so, yes, we may do things wrong, but when we do, the thing for us to do is repent of that and get rid of it and get it out of our lives and get back on the Lord's side. Well, I made a statement that there's a cost involved in being on the Lord's side, and I believe there is. I believe that every person, every child of God, and I'm sure that many of you here today have already experienced situations in your life where you know this is practically true. This is true in reality. But I believe that every child of God, every person that will truly stand for God, that person will at times find themselves in situations where they are forced to make a choice. You're forced to choose. Am I going to stand up for the Lord, or am I going to turn against Him? You'll find. I mean, if you're really sold out to living your life for the Lord, you're going to find yourself in those situations. And I want you to remember this, that in situations like that, that there's no such thing as neutral ground. If you don't stand up for God, then you stood against Him. And that's exactly what the Scriptures teach us. Jesus Christ, the Lord Himself, taught us that. We find that recorded in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. I want you to consider what Jesus said. He said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." I think a lot of times that we find ourselves perhaps through the course of the day, perhaps in your school or perhaps on your job, or whatever situation you may be in, I'm afraid that oftentimes as the people of God that we find ourselves in situations where God is being dishonored. God's word is being dishonored. Things are being said that are dishonoring to God. And what we would rather do oftentimes is just ignore the situation and just say, "Well, I'm not going to get involved in that." But listen, folks, silence gives consent. And in those times and in those situations, and I believe that what Jesus said here in Matthew 12 will certainly back that up. But in those situations where we find ourselves, if we will not stand up for God, then we stood against Him. And silence gives consent. You know what? Now, you can have your own opinion of it, but this is mine. I believe that you and I, as the people of God, I believe that we ought to bear responsibility, because I believe that in many ways, that we are to be blamed for the moral laxity that exists in our nation today. Because I don't believe we've stood up for the Lord the way that we should have. I believe we've tried to find that neutral ground in too many situations and just say, I'm not going to get involved, but I read about some great servants of God in the Scripture that they were not like that. You know, that was not the way they lived. And one of them was a man by the name of John the Baptist. And I want you to think about what he did. I'll tell you what, I believe he really was on the Lord's side. And I believe he was willing to take God's part. And that's what he did. Listen, if you truly live your life for God, do you want the standard to gauge it by? Well, here it is. If you truly live your life for God, you will be persecuted in this world. You'll be persecuted. And you can say, well, but preacher, we're living under a cloak of religious liberty, and we're not being, you know, we're not undergoing persecution like the church did. Well, that's true, but that doesn't matter. If you live your life for the Lord, you will be persecuted in this life. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Everybody that lives a godly life will suffer persecution. And there will be things that we will have to face if we're truly going to stand for the Lord. John the Baptist was a man that was on the Lord's side, and there's great evidence of that. There's great proof there because he... when he stood before Herod, and certainly Herod was in a position of great power and in a position of great authority, and he stood before Herod and he just simply told him, it is unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. That's unlawful. That's immoral. What you're doing in stealing your brother's wife from him is wrong. He stood for the Word of God. He stood for what was right. And he got himself in big trouble over it. And he eventually lost his head because of it. But he stood for the Lord, didn't he? In Acts chapter 5, verse 28-29, we have the account there of a time when the apostles had been put in prison because of preaching the Word of God. And then after they were released, they went right back out and they preached the word of the Lord. In Acts chapter 5, verses 28-29, it says, didn't we command you, or this is not verbatim, but I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially what they were told was that they were commanded not to teach in the name of the Lord. And they said, behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. That's what we ought to do today. We ought to obey God rather than men. You know, we've talked a lot. There's been a lot of discussion lately. I remember Brother Fugate talking about it last week, I believe it was, in his Sunday school class. There's a question, I believe, that's in our minds. There's been a lot of discussion about things that are happening in our government, things that are happening in our nation, about the possibility or perhaps even the probability. Brother Jackson addressed the church about this a couple of years ago, about things that are happening and laws that are being enacted that could possibly bring upon us some type of physical persecution again, that we might be for preaching the truth of God's word, that we might be charged with hate crimes and all such stuff as that. And you know what? Perhaps that will happen. We don't know right now. We can certainly see things in the mix that would make us think of the possibility of those things happening. But I'll tell you what, I pray to God, and I really do. I pray to God. I want you to know I'm not just trying to say this in a sermon today. I'm serious with you today. I pray to God that if those things come upon us, that we'll be ready to be on the Lord's side, that we'll be ready to stand for God. Let me tell you something. We may think about that. We may think about those, and I'm thankful for those today that were willing to give up their physical lives rather than to give up the advancement of the gospel because we had it come to us through their labors. I'm thankful for those that the Bible talks about that love not their lives even unto the death. And if these things do begin to come upon us, and we may think, oh my goodness, we may think, what a horrible thing for us to be, perhaps to have our leaders arrested, perhaps for our pastor to be arrested for what he preaches, perhaps for us to actually return to the days when we might be physically persecuted for what we believe. What a tragedy that would be for us. Folks, I'll tell you what an honor. What an honor that it is to suffer for the Lord. That's the way the apostles felt about it. They went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame in the name of the Lord. You know what's going to happen to us, all of us, unless we are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord? You know what's going to happen to us? We're going to die. One by one, we're going to die. The church has suffered loss because of death just recently. We're going to die. I thank God for those people that died for the sake of the Lord. You read the 20th chapter of Revelation. You go study the 20th chapter of Revelation. I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe about that. The 20th chapter of Revelation is not about the end of time. It's not about the Lord coming and rapturing the church out of the world and then there being a 1,000-year period where He restores Israel and dwells among them again. That's not what it's about. The 20th chapter of Revelation and that 1,000-year reign is about the special blessing and the special recognition that the Lord placed upon those that were willing to give their lives for the sake of the gospel. It's about the martyrs. You go read that and you'll find that the only ones that... I'll tell you what. We'll just turn there and read it. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them, listen, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which not had worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they that had been beheaded, that had given up their lives for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. God bestowed special blessing upon His martyrs. That's what that's about. And He, I believe, still will do that today. He bestows special blessing upon His martyrs. So, you know, what if it happens? And I'm not trying today to just be hypothetical. I don't believe in preaching hypothetically, but we've asked ourselves the question, well, what if it does? Well, I said a moment ago, we're going to die, aren't we? I mean, we're going to die. And just think about this. And I want to concede this point. I do. I want to concede this point. I want to preach this today with dignity and concede this point, that I realize that none of us ever know what we would do in a situation until we're faced with it. But I think about this. You know what I can do? If it comes, you know, I can perhaps have the opportunity. I mean, chances are I never will. You know, but I could be blessed with the privilege and the opportunity, and so could you. You could die for the Lord, or you could die laying in a hospital bed with your body being eaten up with cancer. You know, which one of those do you think is better? And I believe the people that we read about in the Bible and in history that died for the Lord, I believe that's exactly the way that they thought. You know what? They thought, well, I'm going to die. You know, I'm not going to live here on the earth forever. And when it come time for them under persecution, when it come time for them to give up their life for the Lord, I believe they faced the fire and I believe they faced the stake with this thought in mind. Well, how could I possibly find a better way to end my earthly life here than to give up my life for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll just stand on the Lord's side, and I'll tell you what, the way that they died and the things that they stood for in life, it brought the gospel to generation after generation after generation. And bless your hearts, we're still here today because of their labors. And so, you know, listen, whether it ever comes upon us or whether it doesn't, when we think of these things, let's not look at this in the light of saying, oh, you know, if that ever happened, woe to us. That's not what the Apostle Peter thought about it. You know, he just said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, even if we lose our lives over it. I'm going to tell you something. I preached just a few weeks ago, I believe about 2 weeks ago, on living for the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, and I believe this is true for every one of us. If you're not willing to live for the Lord, I'll guarantee you, you're not willing to die for Him. If you're not willing to even, you know, submit your life to Him, you're not going to give it for Him. And so, you know, we need to be resolved to be willing to live for the Lord, be resolved to be willing to die for the Lord. We belong to the Lord. If we live, we live unto the Lord. If we die unto the Lord. We belong to the Lord. And, you know, we need to be on God's side. I'll tell you what, we live in a society that just seems to have gone mad. I mean, I don't know what you think about it, but I hear stuff every week. You know, when we leave here after our services on Sunday, before we come back the next Sunday, I hear stuff every week that just makes me say, what has happened to people? What has happened? You know, how in the world did the minds of people become so distorted about what's right and what's wrong? I mean, we live in a crazy society. You know, you may think that's negative. I think it's just true. We live in a world where people just seem to have lost their minds. I read something the other day, I don't remember if it was the newspaper or what, but I read something the other day where one of the Hollywood figures, she had made the statement. She said, I will not marry anybody until it's okay for everybody in the United States to marry who they want to marry. I knew what she was saying. She was saying, I'm not going to get married until it's legal for anybody, for any man in the United States to marry a man if he wants to, or a woman to marry a woman. That's sick, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, I'm afraid that there's people even among our churches that struggle, a lot of times with what's really right and what's not. Well, I'll tell you what's right. It's right here. It's right here. And if you can't find in this book that those things are abominable in the sight of God, you just come and see me. I'll show you where they're at. And we need to stand for the Lord. And you're going to find yourself in situations where you're going to have to choose. You know, am I going to step up to the plate here? Am I going to risk, in my school or on my job, am I going to take the chance of being cast out from among the group of people that I've been, associating with? You sure will find yourself with that question if you're going to stand for the Lord, because you live in the midst of people that are just have gone mad. And we're going to find ourselves in those situations. And I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that in those times, as far as I'm concerned, from what the Bible tells me, if you just try to walk that neutral path, if you don't stand up for God, you stood against Him. You remember what Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. John the Baptist didn't have to do what he did he? He didn't have to go to Herod and tell him what he did, but he did it. He stood up for the Lord. And we need to stand up for the Lord. And we need to pray that God will give us the strength and the courage to stand up for the Lord. Those are my thoughts today. I hope that it's been an encouragement and a help to us in some way. That's what the Lord gave me to bring before you today. Anybody have anything on your heart?